Also like to take an opportunity to welcome Honorable Majority, who had indicated that she was going to be arriving late for the meeting. Honorable members, also just want to rectify an error I made in my opening remarks. Mr. McKenzie did not apologize because of late notification, but I'm informed by my senior colleague that he's gone to the doctor. So he is received the notification of the meeting at the same time. The other members received it, but he has a doctor's appointment. Honourable members, I had explained that in terms of Rule 158, the committee must elect one of its members as the chairperson of the committee, and that will be the agenda item that I will take care of in the notice of the meeting. I will call for a nomination, and then members will raise their hands. I will recognize the member, and the member will state his or her full name and the full names of the member that he or she is electing. And we'll also need to have a secondment of the nomination, and also the acceptance by the member so nominated. If we have one nomination, the person so nominated will then be declared the chairperson of the committee, but if we have more than one nomination, we'll then proceed to call for a vote, which will be done by a show of hands. Honorable members, I will now proceed to call for nominations. Honorable members, let me just identify Honorable Matrosen.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Honorable Members. No, it's just I wanted to submit a complaint from, I'm not a spokesperson, but I think maybe moving forward as a committee, we all need each other, even if we come from different political parties. Honorable Pumzi, she called me and said she did not receive anything, any response in terms of the meeting or tweeting to her and so forth, no email, nothing. So she just called me now when I was on my way to say she has not received anything. I'm not sure, maybe you did not want her to attend the meeting and so forth. But I just wanted you to note that that is the concern that I want to put forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member. I can assure you that it will not be an intention of the support staff of the committee for any member not to attend the meetings of the committee. Communication was sent via email, and for those members who are on the committee's WhatsApp group, they also received it, and the meeting was also published on the parliamentary paper, that list of yesterday, and which was we thought like the budget that was published yesterday also has the meeting. But I'll also just allow my colleague, Secretary Hajra, to have a bite.
Could I add a
bite? Thank you very much.
I will now proceed to call for nominations, honorable members. I identify honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Nomsa Josefina Kupega. I stand to nominate the name of Honorable Boyce Banele. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Is there any seconder? I recognize Honorable Member on my right.
Can I come in before, Chair?
Yes, Honorable Member.
Can I correct the surname? I don't know why I like a B instead of M. It's Manele, not Banele. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Member, for clarifying that. Honorable Member.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to Honorable Members and the staff. My name is Alice Klebanin Chembu. Seconding the nomination made by Honorable Kupega for the Chairperson, Boyce Manele. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mtemu, Honorable Kupega nominated Honorable Manele and was seconded by Honorable Mtembo. Honorable Manele, do you accept the nomination?
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I accept the nomination.
Thank you, Honorable Manele. Honorable Members, I will therefore proceed to call for further nominations. Honorable Members, seeing that there are no further nominations, I will therefore invite Honorable Manele to come forward and take his chair and also to congratulate him on his appointment as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communications for the 6th Parliament. Honorable Manele may come forward, sir.
Just to ascertain that given this notice and everything else that we dealt with initially, whether everybody has got the program.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'd see that based on the program, we are now on Wednesday, 21st. And therefore deal with the items that we are dealing with today, so you all have that. Just to make sure again that we are having the same program, On Tuesday, the 27th of August 2019, there will also be another portfolio committee meeting, which would look at the briefing by the department on the state of reconfiguration of the department and entities. On Tuesday, the 3rd September, as you can see, there's also going to be a briefing by the Department of Communications and the Department of Telecommunications on postal services on the performance and expenditure for the first quarter. Then on the 10th, it will be the briefing by the Special Investigating Unit and the National Prosecuting Authority on SAPC investigations. And that will also be handling the briefing by the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA, on its national election watch. Then on the 17th of September 2019, it will be the briefing by the South African Broadcasting Corporation, the SABC, on its turnaround strategy, also on the status report on implementation of recommendations emanating from the Public Protector Report, Auditor General, and the Internal Forensic Report in the SAPC. So just to be sure that we have the same for purposes of record, that you receive the same program, and that the program would agree upon if the meeting so agrees.
Okay.
Can I just check if the meeting agrees? Can I just say to the meeting address? Honorable Mulala.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope this time I don't need to mention all my names. I move to adopt this as our program for the court, Chairperson. Thanks.
Seconder, just for record.
My name is Chirizi Thomas Gumbu. I second the.
Seconded. Any next one to have a different view? And I think and the program is adopted. May I also just correct a mistake one would have made of not acknowledging a new member in the committee? Maybe she wanted to also participate. Whether to participate as a Muslim is not the Princess Faku was our new member of Parliament, but also a new member in the committee. I'm sure you'll accept my apology because I'm also a new chair. Okay, thanks for that. Having adopted the program, I'm trying to also save time. Having adopted the program, it takes us to the next item, and that item is the adoption of the minutes, which I also take it again that members do have the copies of the minutes, or they do have the minutes being forwarded to them. So if you look at the two sets of minutes, there are minutes for the 3rd of July. May I just check if you have got something that you would have received. Then you also have a set of minutes dated the 9th of July. I'm ascertaining that members do have that. Do you want to speak? Honorable member, you want to speak?
Oh,
yes.
No, I'm focusing on the issue of those minutes, as we are saying, Chair. I wanted just to say I fully agreed with the minutes, because if you can check, as we are saying, these are the two sets, the first one of the 2nd of July, and also when we it was for the first time for us in this portfolio committee, and the second one was on the I want to be very short. The 9th of July. If you'll agree, Chair, just to go page by page, as all of us we have received before, I think I will move for the adoption of those minutes, and also because in the first time there were those some corrections, I'm saying I'm adopting with those corrections that have been made in the last. I thank you.
Now, thanks, Honorable Kubeka. I'm sure you'll understand. I'll start still checking whether you have the same copies of the minutes. Necessarily, the minutes of the third, according to record, you've already dealt with them. But what has not happened was the minutes of dated 2nd July were not recorded as having been approved, and therefore have also the ones of the 9th. So I just wanted to check that, because for record, we will record each of them having been adopted or not adopted. So if you have the copy of the 2nd of July, if you have got that copy, that has got draft minutes. As I said, I can go page by page. Right. On page 1, I do know that my name, I corrected it the other time, but still BM, not BN, Manila. Any other matter on page 1? On page 2? Anything on the last page, Victory?
No, I didn't get it.
With those corrections, can I get mover for adoption of the minutes of the 2nd? For record. Let me start with Honorable Machuzi, and then be followed by Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, maybe let me congratulate you on your election as the new chairperson of communications, and I move for the adoption of the minutes of 2nd of July as a true reflection of what had transpired. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Major. Do you have a second? Honorable Kubeka?
Send in Kassile, Yeropelele, Chairperson.
So minutes are adopted. No opposition to that. All right. The minutes of the 7th of July. Then we are now on the minutes of the 9th of July. We'll do the same on the page by page basis on page 1. Page 1. If there's nothing on page 1, we'll go to page 2. There's nothing on page 2. Go to page 3, which is the last page. So if there's nothing, can we get a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 9th of record? Honorable Mulala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Initially, I missed the opportunity to congratulate you. Okay, may I congratulate you, Chairperson, for being elected. And secondly, I would move for the adoption of the minutes of the 9th. Thanks, Chair.
Any the second? Thanks for second for the minutes of the 9th. There's a
mover
there for adoption.
Yeah, I second for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable second. So the minutes.
Honorable Gumbo.
Gumbo, yes. Second. So therefore, the minutes would have been adopted by the second. There's no. I think it doesn't have any
disagreement mm-hmm. on that, which then finalizes that item. And that takes us to the next item. And that item is the briefing by the Secretariat, in particular the content advisor, on the Committee Legal Services Executive Policy, which report was also circulated. May I just check if you are waiting for me?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am provisionally ready, but I can see that we're having challenges with the screens. Apparently, VisionView was not around or available. So if members permit, I can present using the hard copy, and which I assume members have, although it's not in color, but I don't think it's a trick. I'll seek your direction, Chair.
As I said, I take it that members have received the documentation and therefore would have had an opportunity of also going through the documentation. The presentation will be in the mail to confirm whatever needs to be confirmed or if there are any changes to emphasize on those. As I said, provisionally, but at least this is the committee that should not be having problems with screens. And so we should be helping to get to another level. Can we just check that if members so disagree? I only facilitate the meeting. So I see that Honorable Mulala would want to.
I don't disagree, Chair. I just wanted to share with the committee that indeed we went through the report. What we are going to request the presenter is to focus on key strategic areas of the report, not on the narration, the historical background, where the committee comes from. No, we want to know what were the main or recent challenges of the committee, what are the unresolved issues of the previous committee, what are the recommendations of that committee on the new six administration committees. Those would be the focus area without channeling you, Honorable Administrator. So that's my proposal, Chair, if the committee agrees. But if the committee wants him to go through the historical background, who was elected chairperson in the last committee and so on, I would withdraw. But for now, I'm proposing that, Chair, that let's focus on the key areas only, mm-hmm. so that we don't just go through unnecessary information. Thanks.
Mm. Well, I do take it that the Malika understands what you've raised, member, and that you will really focus on matters that would make this committee to be able to understand where at the committee is and how we are moving forward in the sixth parliament on issues that we need to be seized with as a committee. But as the disclaimer is that we are not channeling you. But please, you can proceed.
Hey, thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. In that case, as been advised, I will request the members to just skip a couple of slides. In the interest of the suggestion. Maybe we can start with slide 16. I won't stay long on the slides also. But the presentation, of course, feel free to engage me, post the meeting, send the meeting. Perhaps just for the benefit of the honorable members, it'd be prudent for me to at least highlight some of the issues that led us to where we are today. The main one being that following the general elections of 2014, the President announced the establishment of a new Ministry of Communications. And, of course, that was coupled with a couple of proclamations. And essentially what it did was divide the Department of Communications into two. One, which would be specifically responsible for the overarching communications, policy and strategy, and information dissemination, and the other which would focus predominantly on telecommunications and postal services issues. And the new Department of Communications would have been born out of the former, well, out of the Government Communications and Information Systems Department, GCIS. The GCIS reported to, during fourth parliament, was reporting to the presidency, while another entity which reported to the new department called the FPB, Film and Publications Board, used to report to the Department of Home Affairs. And Brand SA, of course, also reported under Budget Vote 1 during 2014, during the fourth parliament. So I'm on slide 17 now. As you'll see then, that slide, I have actually sort of displayed the departments as they would have been separated during this parliament. Over to slide 18. I'm just going to touch on a few key highlights from slide 18. In terms of what the Portfolio Committee on Communications had undergone during Fifth Parliament. And you'll notice that I said PCC on top of that slide. That's specific to the Portfolio Committee on Communications. When I refer to the telecoms, it will say PCT, something like that. So nonetheless, the Portfolio Committee on Communications just was always in the limelight from the first, you know, month of the Fifth Parliament. In fact, most of the public used to refer to us as the SABC Committee for a reason, because we always had some issues. So in 2014 of that year, we had held an inquiry into the you know, the qualifications of the then board chairperson, Ms. Ellen Shabalala, after it came to light to the committee that she was not properly qualified. And as a result could not be a leader or the chairperson of the SABC. And of course, through that inquiry, she was successfully removed as a board member of the SABC. On slide 19, continuing on the key highlights of the Portfolio Committee, we were able to conclude the Film and Publications Amendment Bill. I think as it stands now, that bill is sitting at the presidency, and we're not sure how far the progress is in terms of him signing it into law, but it was quite a laborious process that the committee went through and successfully completed. Within the same breath, the department had also tabled its Broadcasting Amendment Bill, which served with the committee for a number of years, but was eventually withdrawn by the new minister sometime last year. The committee has also established an ad hoc committee into looking into the fitness of the SABC board at the time. And that board, as it's now public knowledge, was eventually dissolved as a result of the inquiry. And a set of recommendations were put forward, both for the SABC board, new board, as well as for the committee to be carried through in order to ensure that the public entity is stabilized. Furthermore, we had some challenges with ICASA, with the chairperson of ICASA, who was found guilty in the courts of the country for fraud activities during his tenure at the land bank or something like that. And so we had to go through that process as a committee to ensure that he was also removed as the chairperson of the ICASA Council, because the Act dictated that for us. Moving to page 20, now we'll be focusing on the key highlights coming from the Department of Telecoms and Postal Services. During the 2017 year, the committee had adopted two international agreements, as mentioned there. It's the Convention of African Telecommunications Union and the Final Act of Plenipotentiary Conference, which is part of the ITU work. Furthermore, on page 21, The department has tabled the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill to the committee, as well as the Postal Services Bill and the IGAMVA Institute Bills. In as far as the Postal Amendment Bill, it was withdrawn. It was not completed. I'm not sure what the reasons were, but I think it's still with the committee. Ajira will correct me if not, but I... Oh, it went back to the department, apparently. So was the electronic communications. I'll speak more to that part of the electronic communications amendment as I go on with the presentation. And, of course, the IGAMVA National eSkills Institute Bill was complete. The work was completed. It's also sitting with the president. On page 22, I will highlight a few emerging challenges that are coming out of the legacy report, as it were. The first is that, you know, the tight programming of Parliament during Fifth Parliament was a huge inhibitor to the oversight work of both committees, the telecoms and the communications portfolios. So it did not necessarily do us justice in terms of ensuring that we had adequate oversight to the departments that were, you know, under the two committees. So I think going forward, what is important is how the committee, you know, adjusts its programming. Of course, the parliament program dictates, but we will have to also try and clean up our house so that we plan accordingly to ensure that we're able to conduct thorough oversight over the department and its entities, noting that now we have 10 entities and one department. It's going to be a humongous task for the committee to be able to ensure that we give equitable time to all the entities as well as the department if we want to be thorough in the work of the committee. Secondly, is that the ad hoc committee into the fitness of the SABC board has been quite a revelation for the country, and I'm sure honourable members will be aware that the SABC is still in tatters, and the onus will be on the committee to ensure that we maintain the oversight. And while we do that, we don't neglect the other entities as a result of focusing too much on the SABC. But it's key that we also try to monitor the implementation of the recommendations emanating from that process, because as you would know, as early as today for that matter, there's been issues on the media, the SIU report being contested by the then interim board and the other 28 employees that have to be reviewed as a result of, you know, irregular appointments and so forth. So there's quite a lot of issues already engulfing the sector, or rather the SAPC, that will need our attention for that matter. And I'm glad to say that our program is quite reflective of a committee that is trying to be at par with the changes and developments that are happening at the SAPC. The third aspect I wanted to talk to is with regards to the digital migration program of the department. And this to say that during Fifth Parliament, we only had two joint sittings, and the joint committee sittings would have been between the communications department and the telecoms committees. And because of this tight program that I mentioned earlier, we could not necessarily meet as much as we wanted to, so that we could track the program of the digital migration. And we know that the deadline for migrating has been postponed a couple of times. So it's really a priority program for the department, and should be so for the committee as well, for the purposes of ensuring that our people are not left behind, especially in the looming fourth industrial revolution. On the next slide, slide 23, I just want to also emphasize the issues around the tools of trade, especially for the support staff. You know, I'm sure members would not be aware, but I should inform you that during Fifth Parliament,
we have a huge gap in as far as the research capacity in the committee, and of course not a problem of the members, but from the committee support section. Both committees did not have a researcher for most of the time of during fifth parliament. And the telecoms committee also didn't have a content advisor. So at times I had to, you know, work both as a researcher and also double my work as a content advisor for the two committees. But it's not an ideal situation for a committee with such immense work, for that matter. Also, I think there's a need to have a, you know, dedicated communications officer. We do have a communications officer, but he's also frustrated between many committees. We also need to have a dedicated law advisor because most of our work is quite technical. And we'd want to have consistency in as far as the legal aspect is concerned, especially for the sector. It's a highly technical sector, so you can't take a generic law person and expect that they would focus, as is the current situation. We've been found wanting a couple of times in the processing of the bills during Fifth Parliament. Also to say that the change in committee members has been way too much. To make an example, the Portfolio Committee on Communications had about 5 chairpersons during this parliament. That's not an ideal situation. The Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications also had about 3 different chairpersons during the time, one of which was acting for a number of years or months. That is not an ideal situation for a committee of this nature. So we should all endeavor to have some consistency going forward so that, you know, there is some stability. We seem to be, you know, making progress in that regard. I also wanted to maybe highlight a bit about the effective tracking of recommendations in that, you know, while we made recommendations all the time, as is the work of Parliament, it's always hard to keep track of those recommendations and whether the department adequately responds to those. So perhaps going forward, it'd be key that our recommendations are at all times time-bound so that we're able to ensure that the department does respond adequately to them. Right, so yeah, I suppose the main thrust of the issue is that we should, you know, we need to take cognizance that we in a sector that is ever evolving and changing very quickly. So how the legislative sector adjusts to that is very important, and it'll be key that the consistency of leadership in that regard is quite stable. I also put the study tour purposely so. Because both committees during Fifth Parliament did not undertake a study tour. And I think that for this particular sector, it's very key to understand what the world is doing and how it's doing it. We can't talk about Fourth Industrial Revolution when we don't know what other countries are doing. So I would urge that the committee make some effort in ensuring that we do undertake, you know, such kind of tours to ensure that members are empowered adequately to deal with the changes of the sector. That is also coupled with some of the issues that were raised, for instance, during the ad hoc committee. In fact, one of the recommendations was that honorable members need to be capacitated to be able to deal with the issues of the sector. Similar issues came up in the legacy report of the telecoms in that there were challenges in dealing with the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, which was highly technical, but you found members, honorable members were found wanting because they couldn't acclimatize to the technical arena of the bill. So there needs to be a strong focus on the capacitating of members as well as staff to be adequately capacitated to be able to deal with the technical nature of the sector. On slide 24, I just raised issues to follow up, especially for this parliament, and that we need to monitor the institutional arrangements of the department. Now that it's one department with 10 SPs,
We cannot just leave it to the department to do it. It's still the onus of the committee to ensure that we monitor how the department adjusts to this new formation and the impact thereof into the legislation that governs the sector. Additionally, still focusing on broadcasting, we are aware that the department had hosted a colloquium around the broadcasting policy of the country. And so it's important that we monitor how that goes going forward, because as I said, you know, we're going towards 4R and we're not sure whether our broadcasting sector is ready really to adjust accordingly. On the next slide, a key issue, as I mentioned before, is the follow-up on the DTT policy. As you would be aware, during fifth Parliament, during the many changes that happened, one of the ministers, I'll refrain from mentioning names, but one of the former ministers had decided to, you know, contest the policy, as it were, and, you know, became blurry whether the policy was still the policy or not the policy. So we haven't gotten a clear direction from the department whether the policy still stands or not, specifically in relation to the encryption of the set-top boxes, and in fact whether the set-top boxes themselves are still relevant, you know, because as we know that the proliferation of technology happens on a daily basis, and I don't think that set-top boxes would still be relevant. Now we have TVs that are digital ready, so whether the department still thinks set-top boxes is the way to go, we still need to be clarified. So we need to pick up our pace in as far as overseeing that important program of government. And also I think that there needs to be an overall review of the sector policies and the regulatory atmosphere. So I think that the committee will be very much interested in understanding how the legislative instruments and regulatory instruments are adjusted towards the attainment of 4IR for the country. On page 26, so I already spoke to the ECA bill, so I won't labor much on it, but to say that we still need to, you know, ensure that we capacitate ourselves to be able to deal with these bills once they are brought back to the committee. Because I'm quite sure during this Parliament we'll see a whole lot of legislative changes. One, born out of the amalgamation of the two departments, and two, as a result of technological developments, which are obviously beyond country politics for that matter. There needs to be also a huge focus on the broadband for all policy targets, and I wish I could elaborate more on that, but we all know that broadband is quite critical and fundamental for, you know, for any country that seeks to adopt technologies for that matter, and there's a direct correlation between broadband and GDP, broadband and employment, and innovation and so forth. So there's quite, we don't need any more justification in ensuring that Parliament does play its role in overseeing this particular policy of government. We also need to focus more of our oversight on the audiovisual and digital content strategy of the country, which the department is still working on, but I'm hoping that they will come and present to the committee. I've already spoken to the issues around support staff and the legal advisory. Just on one aspect on the previous slide, the issue around the broadband policy, the onus will be on the committee to pay particular attention on USASA, which is the implementer of this broadband for all policy of government. I know that the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications during the Fifth Parliament did some oversight, and key issues came out of that in terms of the challenges that
broadband for all strategy. So I think our oversight will need to be very extensive in, you know, assessing the impact of this broadband strategy. On the next page, again, I just wanted to say that, you know, the systematization of tracking is quite critical for the committee. I mean, we're dealing with a highly technical and technologically based committee and department. It does not make sense that we don't have any ICT-based tools for tracking recommendations. I've been laboring on this issue ever since this fourth parliament, since I came here, but it doesn't seem like there's anything moving from the support side in ensuring that the committee also adopts ICT-based tools for monitoring and oversight. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to turn the corner during sixth parliament. I know that the parliament has an app, but as to how effective it is and what our role is as the portfolio committee in that app, it hasn't been clear. So maybe it's an engagement that needs to happen at a political level to ensure that the committee becomes a fundamental in the adoption of that app for communication purposes. Yeah, and I thought that in terms of tracking of recommendations, it's important that we schedule that the department, every time they come and appear, somewhat they respond to some of the recommendations that were raised in the previous meeting or maybe during oversight, because the moment we lose that, we will not be able to track what recommendations were responded to and what were not for that purpose. Yeah, so I've talked about the ICT-based tracking system. I don't need to labor much on it. And I thought that when the department hosts this public hearing for various reasons, I mean, you find sometimes ICASA always has public hearings on one issue or the other. It would be vital that the department ensures that members are invited, because that's another way of interacting with people in the sector and understanding what issues arise from that. So if members are precluded from such engagements, it renders the entire oversight to useless, so to speak. So I really encourage that the department also starts to ensure that they invite members in all the events that they do, so that members also get acclimatized to the sector and the issues at the ground in terms of what the public feels about technology. And then it will be important for the committee going forward to oversee the implementation of the spectrum policy directives. As you know, that the department did issue the directives some weeks back, I think last month, and we are now sitting with ICASA. So we know that spectrum is a very key issue in as far as ensuring that you know, there's broadband for all in South Africa. So how the regulations are built up will be very key for us. So going forward in our programming, we need to really see how we can engage ICASA going forward and the department in ensuring that the spectrum is distributed equitably and in an affordable way for all role players, especially the one which is a key issue that came out of the policy directive. We also need to ensure that we interact with the speaker's office called the Institute Supporting Democracy, which really focuses on Chapter 9 institutions, of which ICASA is one of. For the purpose of ensuring that ICASA is efficient and is well-funded, it's important that we still protect their independence in that regard. And also making sure that the department and all its entities continue to receive clean audits. We know that from the communication side, the SABC had a disclaimer, and a couple of the departments were regressing or stagnant, not necessarily getting clean audits. So for oversight purposes, it will be the honorable members that must ensure that you know, we keep a clean sheet for the sector. It's quite critical. Okay, and lastly, this is going to be my last slide. I won't talk to the other slides.
going forward. I just want to say that it's quite important that education, skilling and reskilling happens at all times for the entire country, not only for the committee. It's quite important if we are to adopt, the fourth industrial revolution phenomenon. Otherwise, the country will be left behind, as it already is. And I think that there's too much of silo operations within government itself. So it will be important how the committee ensures that state resources are used effectively in a way of pulling, initiatives from the various departments. There needs to be a concerted effort to promote entrepreneurship in the country as a means to, create more innovation. As we know that 4R is underpinned by innovation more than anything. So we need to get our youth involved very much so they're able to be as innovative as other youth in other countries. That said, we can't negate the issue of gender balance. The country is dominated by females, but the sector is not reflective as such. And a statistic that I got from some institute says that 20% of the overall number of employees working across all levels of the ICT sector are women. And it's nearly 20%. It's not much to make a difference for a country that is dominated by women. And I think that the onus would be on the committee to ensure that it plays that oversight, to ensure the department mainstreams the gender issues within the ICT sector. And lastly, I think that there needs to be some form of a system to encourage corporate investment in rural areas. As you know, that our rural areas are quite impoverished, and unemployment is quite great, even in cities. So it's worse in rural areas. There's no economic activity. So we need to figure out ways to incentivize deployment of infrastructure in rural areas. Honourable members, I think in short, that's what I will present. The other slides were mainly just to contextualize the entire, legacy report. But I'll be happy to engage members in another forum in as far as the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks for the presentation. I will now take it for members to engage with the presentation. Matters that they want to take up. I see Honorable Majozi hands up. Honorable Lala, I will note all of you and I'll just call for it.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you for the reporting and of the legacy report. It was very informative. So now we know where we lack and what we should focus on. And Chairperson, maybe even if it's not per se as questions, maybe as comments, that as the committee. As the committee in the 6th Parliament on the amendment bills that are outstanding, whether they were withdrawn or maybe they are still sitting with the presidency and so forth, maybe we should then request you as the chair to write a letter to the minister, maybe to also find out what had happened and so forth, and maybe if we could be amused with the bills as well, so that we know what is it that was tabled on the 5th Parliament, and then what is it that we want, because we must also have priorities as a committee. So in our priorities, then we must state on which bills do we want to take forward and so forth. So maybe that would also help to make sure that we understand each other on which bill that was presented, maybe that is important, that is the priority of this committee to take forward,
And I think those are the bills that I wanted to focus on. And maybe to find out, Chairperson, on the, there was an ad hoc committee into the fitness of the SAPC board. But since we know that SAPC lacks leadership, what happened to that? Maybe if we could get a clear reporting of what happened to the ad hoc committee. Did they conclude on the leadership? Because I know that there's no new board. So what is happening currently, and what are the steps maybe that the committee should take so that we find an amicable solution to the SAPC? And I can just round off all of the... Okay. And maybe also, Chairperson, to also look at the issue of the current structure of the staff of the committee. We should also look into that because it's very important. We depend on them. If we don't have a researcher, we don't have them, we will fail as a committee. So I think that one, it has to be an urgent matter that we look into and see then how do we make a follow-up in terms of making sure that we fill these other vacancies that are not there in the staff. And also a very fundamental issue, Chairperson, of follow-ups. I think it's very important. There is no department that could execute its objectives without policies. So we must look at all the policies that are outstanding. They've outlined them here on the follow-ups. There's broadcasting policy and so forth, and all those departments that have not concluded on their policies, maybe we try and help as the committee to see forth how then can we make sure that these policies are concluded and then they are able to execute their objectives as the committee. Maybe also, Chairperson, to touch on the issue of representation on gender balance. That is very important. We cannot, as a committee, let it slide that in the departments that are reporting to us, we don't find a gender balance on them. Because if you've got inequality of gender in the departments, then it will be asked from us what is it that we did to make sure that the stability and also there's representation of all these of gender balance in all these departments. I think maybe if I have more, then I'll come back in another. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think I must also congratulate our official there that at least you have done your assignment. It's very informative, and at least we understand where we're standing. The only thing that I want us to go back to, you raised an issue of a sort of a tracking device in terms of recommendation. I think that's the first part that I'm very much interested in. But you did not explain what is it that you need so that the chairperson or the committee can work out a program to help you get that, because it's very important. We need to know. For instance, my colleague here has raised some of the things I wanted to raise. If you say the ad hoc committee has made certain recommendations, how do we get a summarized version of those recommendations so that when we move forward, we are able to track on our own? In the meantime, you and the chairperson working out the strategy of having an ICT sort of a tracking device so that everybody can see behind the screen and look at this one, they were not implemented and so on. The second thing that you raise, which unfortunately all of us in the committee don't have the powers over them, the change of committee members, that's not our jurisdiction, unfortunately. It's the party's jurisdiction. So if the party decides they want this chairperson and not this one, we may raise it as a concern, but it's beyond our control. The other important point that I want to emphasize, Chair, is that I liked what you raised on the technical nature of this sector, because it's moving like what used to be called globalization. Everything is moving fast. Communications is moving very fast. Everything is very fast. Now, if we as the people who are supposed to be doing oversight ourselves are not that knowledgeable, so it means we will not be doing justice to the work that we're supposed to do. But I like it because it's not raised by me, it is raised by you. You are an official. So, but I must emphasize that point because it's very important. You can't go and do an oversight over an entity that you don't even understand what they are doing. So what oversight are you going to do? So it's important that education, training, and so on, particularly on us, because we are representing the people out there. They want us to see us doing something for them. So we can't be sitting here and refusing to get knowledge so that we help our people develop. So that point is very, very important. I just wanted to emphasize on that. The other issue that I needed to raise is the issue of the spectrum. You raised three key issues on the spectrum. The impact on the GDP, which, because I restricted you, you are afraid of me. You could have elaborated more on how the spectrum possibly will impact on the GDP, because that's very fundamental for us. All of us sitting here, we are politicians, we have a constituency where we come from. So we need to know how is it going to help us grow the economy, and what interventions can the department make in that regard so that it moves as fast as possible, because we need to grow our economy whether we like it or not. So I think maybe, like you said, maybe you will engage us at a particular time. But I want us to have an engagement on that that aspect that you presented. You were saying the distribution must be equitable, customers ensure that it's equitable, but we need to know how it's going to impact, how it's going to create employment, how is it going to help our people develop, because that's our main focus. So maybe at a particular time you come back to that. I don't know if, Chair, that will be done through the workshop or what, but I think we need to find time to understand this conception, because our role also demand that we understand them. And then the other issue, I think I also raised it in the last meeting, on the sectors, the entities. Yes, I raised it in the last meeting that all the CEOs and everybody who was presenting out of the 10, there were about very few women there. But I did raise it in that. I'm happy that you, at least you have copied me on this one. Thanks for the copy. I still emphasize that it's very, very important that we do oversight and get to know that this sector cannot just be dominated by males. I'm also a male, but I don't want that. It must be dominated by the majority of people in this country, and it's women. Yes. So it's very, very important. So I'm happy also that you raised that. Maybe we need to follow it up. When you have that tracking device, you must also put it there as the first item, so that when we do oversight, the first thing that we check is the structure that they have. Who is that management? Why are there no women? So somebody must explain to us, or why is it this sector just a male one? I think, I hope I'm not taking all the issues, so that all the colleagues can also say something. But those are the key issues that I wanted to raise. But maybe at some point we need time. But the other thing, Chairperson, that I've noticed after this presentation, I think we may need to come back and amend our program. because the program that we have just adopted does not speak to all these things that you say we must go and do. From where I'm sitting, I may be wrong, but the program that we have adopted is correct. We have adopted it. But now that you are bringing more responsibility for the committee, just your presentation on its own says there's a lot of things that we need to do within a short space of time. So, but that we'll discuss with the chair and see if it's amenable. If it's not, it's fine. We are led by the chair. So, but I think we need to review that program, because otherwise we will finish the six administrations having done not even 40% of the work that we're supposed to do. So that would be my input, Chair. Thanks very much.
Followed by Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Before I proceed, I just want to start by congratulating you, Chairperson, once again. But I want to start by saying, yes, indeed, the gender issue is very critical. It needs to be taken seriously, actually in all departments. And I also want to tap in the issue of study talk. Yes, we need to have that study talk. There is the issue of that is saying uzoyithola kanjani hleze khona. Uzoyithola kanjani actually when you are in the corner. You have to go to other countries and to other people, so that you understand what is going on around the world. We have to have that study tour. I heard that both committees did not have researchers. That is very serious. Committee needs a researcher so that it will be active, and it will be doing its work properly. If we do not have a researcher, which means there is something that is not happening in the committee. Let us make sure that we do have a researcher. We on the presentation, I also heard that we need a dedicated law advisor. Firstly, I just want to check the law advisor of the parliament. Do they not assist committees? Maybe I'm checking. But I want to emphasize that if we don't have a law advisor, we need a law advisor, so that we do our work properly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mufako?
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. My name is Princess Fagu. Chair, one of the things that I wanted to raise is the issue of tool of trade. I think Honorable Mthembu has raised that, because we cannot be expected as a committee to function, especially if we don't have a researcher, a content advisor, and a dedicated law person. The other issue, Chair, is the issue of the bills that have not been passed. I see that in the first parliament, these bills were part of the challenges that did emerge, but it was recommended for the sixth parliament to make sure that there must be a content of the legislation, so that we can do workshop as the committee members, especially that the two departments have come together. So I wanted to highlight that it is very important that we do have that workshop. I think, Chair, it is very important that we do have a study tour, because this is something new to South Africa. We need to go out of the country and learn from other countries that are specializing in this fourth industrial revolution to see how they move forward, because we can't talk of something that we have not seen. We need to see the practicality of it so we can move forward. Chem, on the issue of the DTT policy, one thing that I wanted to ask maybe as a committee to have time frames on that, because we need to have time frames. It seems that we are putting these things down and we don't have time frames. And I think, one of the pointers that was mentioned, it was the issue of education, reskilling, and so forth, meaning that it's only the department officials that really understand about this fourth industrial revolution, where we are moving as a country, but the community out there is not aware. So it is important that as we go out and do oversight, we make sure that we are form part of this public hearing as committee members, so that we make sure that our communities are informed. Thank you very much.
I'm exhausted, maybe from Sir respond before we give some way forward.
Oh, Chairperson.
Yes.
I just want to check with the presenter on the issue of change of committee members or chairperson. Just want to check as to whether these changes were due to resignations or the deployment of Let me stop there. The second issue is about the report was talking about the oversight visit of several entities. Did those oversight visit manage or be able to achieve something? And if they did, what are those achievements? Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Malika, without channeling you, we have a discussion not to engage the political matter.
Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If I can ask the Honorable Member to repeat the last question, I didn't get it properly. Thank you.
Part of the oversight, if you can just ask.
The report itself was talking about the oversight visit by the committee on different entities that was supposed to oversight. Hmm? Did the oversight visits achieve anything in simple terms? And if there is anything which it has achieved, what is that?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll allow Mr. Ngoma to take a few of those and then I'll summarize at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll maybe respond to three or four questions that were raised by members. Firstly, I'll speak on the committee program, which does not reflect oversight. Honourable members, the committee program is aligned with the parliamentary program. And as a result, for this short parliamentary term, there is no provision for committees to conduct oversight visits outside parliament. Because the other thing, honorable members, maybe that I should just remind you that the meetings we sit and engage on with the department also form part of oversight. But there will be space that will be made in the parliamentary program for committees then go out for oversight and visit entities, projects, and so on. However, during this term, there is no space for that in the committee program, in the parliamentary program. Hence, there are no visits in the committee program. But honourable members, it's also safe to say that when there are urgent matters that this committee need to go and attend to outside of this parliament, the committee can always submit an application to the office of our principals, which is in this instance the House Chairperson and the Chief Whip's office, and in many instances such permission would be granted. I hope I've clarified that on the issue of the committee program. Secondly, honourable members, if I can just speak to the withdrawal of the bills, but with a particular focus on the Broadcasting Amendment Bill. The bill was tabled, was referred to the committee in December 2015, and the committee received an introduction on the bill from the department in March 2016. And the committee was not happy with what was contained in the bill. And after vigorous consultations which took place at political level, then the bill was withdrawn by Minister Mokonyane in 2017. And the reason for that was that there would be a broadcasting policy review, which I think it happened. So it will really depend on the ministry when they would then send that bill back to Parliament. Members would have read on the media there was lots of outcry about that bill, as one of the main things that it seeks to do was to take away the powers that this committee has in terms of appointing the SABC Board of Directors. So the bill was withdrawn by Minister Mokonyane. And we await from the ministry for maybe the retabling of the bill, which I assume would happen after the final, after the broadcast policy review process has been finalized.
And it's normal.
And honourable members, also on this matter, the SABC does have a board. The SABC currently has a board. If I'm not mistaken, it is a full complement. The SABC has a full complement board. So I thought I should just clarify that, because I heard that there was an issue. The SABC does have a board. Thank you. And then if I can just move to the change of members. The chairperson had already said we should not dwell into political matters, because we, as the honourable member had explained, this committee will not have control of that. I think my what my colleague was raising was the instability that it creates in the committee. We went through that during the fifth parliamentary term, where we had about four chairpersons, and there was a lot of change in members as well, not just like on the chairperson. So I think my colleague was main issue was just to raise that the change of membership in committee does sometimes create instability. And honourable members, the summarised version of the recommendations of the ad hoc committee on SABC board inquiry, I think my colleague will prepare that for members. But it's safe to say that there has been progress that's been made by the board in implementing those recommendations of the committee. You'd have seen on the program that it also features there, because we want to bring these members, you honourable members, also on board. Hence, we have that item there where the SABC will come and provide a progress report on the implementation of those of such recommendation, including the other recommendations such as those of the Public Protector Report, the Auditor General of South Africa. Auditor General of South Africa's report, as well as the SABC, its own internal forensic report. And yes, I think I should just respond to those ones. The rest I'll leave to the person that prepared this wonderful presentation for you, honorable members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable Chair. Honorable members, just to, if I leave anything else, please do say so. But I've kept my notes so that we try and cover all the issues raised. I think it's opportune that on the 27th of August,
the department is coming before the committee again, and specifically to give an update of what's going on with the department and its entities. So I think there will be, through your office, Honorable Chairperson, we should probably engage them to say perhaps they should give us a synopsis of what they expect to bring to us, so that we're ably prepared for the bills that they will be bringing to us. That'll be very important, so that we can also plan and ensure that we devise strategies to ensure members are ably equipped before these bills are tabled to the committee. So on that part, I think that the program would have covered at least the concerns of the members. Okay, so in terms of the bills that are sent to the president, I think also the minister will be able to give us more updates during the meeting of the 27th. Also, because Mr. Ngoma has covered the issue of the tight programming, I just wanted to say we do have 5 years. It may seem a lot, but it's not a lot. We were already on the second term of the first year, but it means we need to have some consensus during our meetings so that when we do the programming, while we bring the draft to the members, we're able to ensure that our program almost always encapsulates the entire sector and all the entities and all the issues that are being raised. There's still issues emanating from Fifth Parliament that we have to deal with, but that does not mean that we won't have new agent issues. There's always issues, especially in this sector. So it'll be quite tricky for us how we manage our programming so that we stay abreast of issues. It's quite hard, and I think my colleagues will attest to this. We've had serious problems in the sector, such that sometimes we have to make issues that have been long in the program fall off the program. And sometimes opposition doesn't see, they think it's politicking, but it's actually the tight programming that doesn't give us that flexibility. As you will notice, in this first term and second term of this year, there was no training scheduled, and it makes it ridiculous for a sector such as ours not to have some form of training for members who are new to the sector. I mean, I'm not new in the sector. I've been in the sector for over 20 years, but I study every day. I learn new things every day. So I can't expect honorable members to know the sector in a year or 5 years for that matter. So I think, I don't know, between the politicians and the support staff, or rather the support section of Parliament, we need to figure out a way that is flexible enough to enable everybody to be able to function properly and effectively. In terms of the ad hoc committee, I think we will have to, through the Office of the Chairperson, of course, schedule a special session where we relook the recommendations that were directed to the portfolio committee. I don't want to talk about the ones that were directed to the SABC. I think the SABC, we've done extensive oversight on the implementation of those recommendations. And in fact, as of today, for that matter, they're still busy with it. So now and then we'll call them to give us progress. But I can say from where I'm sitting that the committee did not do adequate work in responding to the recommendations that were directed to the committee during Fifth Parliament. So the onus will be on us, because, again, we'll be blamed if something else was to go wrong. Honourable member was asking whether it's a new board or we don't have a board. We have a new board. In fact, the new board that was installed after the interim board, after the ad hoc committee inquiry, some of them resigned, so we had to appoint other members. So it's a vicious cycle that continues to happen. Every year, there must be someone resigning. So we don't know what the problem is, but in our oversight, we try and identify the problem. Sometimes it's political, sometimes it's not. Today, here, yeah, it's fraudulent. The other days, another issue. So I won't respond much into it, but I think that we have to be seen as a committee to be having our hands in the ball as much as possible, so that we at least are seen to be stabilizing the issues and challenges faced by the public broadcaster. And needless to say, it's not only the public broadcaster, it's the entire entity. We have 10 entities now, so the work is going to be quadrupled for that matter. So the sooner we can stabilize the SABC, the better we'll have more time to deal with other issues and even oversight, study tour for that matter. In terms of staff support, I think the chairperson would have to have numerous meetings with the support committee section of, or rather support section of parliament, because while it is desirable to have a dedicated, for instance, legal advisor for the committee, they are far too stretched in the legal session. It's almost impossible that they would just have a dedicated person for the portfolio committee. Same with the communications officer. It's the same story. Parliament is not having enough capacity. But ideally, for this sector, we want to have people who are dedicated. That's the only way we can be efficient and come up with positive results. So I don't know really how we'll deal with that matter, but I was raising it as an issue for sixth parliament to ponder upon, whether it's at a political level or it's with engagement with the staff section. In terms of tracking of recommendations, we had started a process, albeit it was manual, during fifth parliament, and it was to develop an Excel spreadsheet file, which we call the dashboard of recommendations. And now and then we'd share with the department and see if they can respond. But it's too haphazard, and it's not a formal thing. So I will advise that maybe during our strat plan that we try and formalize that. In terms of an ICT system, there's too many ICT systems out there. Some are proprietary, some are free and open source that we can adopt. But it's the issue of procurement of parliament and how it deals with these issues, because I think they've got that one blanket cover fits all. And it doesn't work for us, unfortunately. It won't work for this committee, I can tell you that much. So we need to somewhat either partner some of the sectoral players to come and assist. We've had many offers, for instance, from support our SAPC, which is a non-profit organization. They are developing a similar system of tracking, you know, information within the sector. But as to how our committee can partner them in improving that tool so that we can also use it, because this is public information. So if you make recommendations as honorable members, it shouldn't stop an ordinary member to know that this committee made a recommendation XYZ and the department either responded or did not respond. We don't have that system. I can't go into the parliament website and say, okay, Portfolio Committee on Communications, recommendations of this day, where they responded to. I'll never find that information. So it's a fundamental problem in the way that parliament is structured. And I don't think it's a problem that we can solve as a committee, but at least we can assist the process where we can and try and make our work much easier. And with just the staff alone, it's impossible to be able to track all the recommendations and interact with the department so that we know that they are all responded to adequately. We do try with the little resources that we have. Yeah. Yes, and we do involve the PLOs in our management meetings, and they also come to the meeting, but I don't think we have a system in place that ensures that information flows accordingly across all role players of the sector. So in terms of change of members, maybe it came out wrong, but I thank you, Chair, for protecting me. I didn't mean it in a bad way. It's a political issue. But needless to say that even at the departments during fifth parliament, we had a lot of actors, both in the telecoms and the communications. So the acting seems to be trending. And it was happening also in the committees section. So I think that it's a broader problem that we have to deal with. But if we want progress, especially in this sector, nothing supersedes consistency. And you can't have consistency if you keep changing chairs or members, you know, because you need to build that institutional memory. And unfortunately, we're not doing that. And same with the department. So I think the change of members here was somewhat reflecting also in the department, because we had many top positions not filled for a long time, and that's a problem. I mean, you can't get any progress if you don't have stable leadership anyway, whatever sector it is. I think that's a basis of that comment. In terms of training and reskilling, I think it goes without saying that if we want to be hands-on the issues that grapple the sector, we need to capacitate ourselves. That includes us as support staff. But seeing that there's a challenge in terms of the programming of Parliament, we need to be innovative in how we do it. One suggestion I'll probably pose forward going forward would be that for every meeting that we have, we invite sector specialists to come and do a presentation so that members can engage on issues. You know, depending on what the issue is, it could be digital terrestrial migration or spectrum, which is a contentious issue now. I'm not an expert in spectrum. I'm probably a broader generic expert in ICTs. But it does not kill the momentum to invite specialists to come and present to the committee and engage the committee on contentious issues, what the world is doing around spectrum. Are they auctioning it, or they're doing that beauty contest? You know, there's all those things, but we must engage. So if Parliament does not give us able time, let's make time for ourselves. So if we have a meeting from 9 till 1, we take 1 hour, we allocate it to an industry specialist. Let them come present, let the members debate, get clarity on the issues. I don't think Parliament would refuse that, because if we were to wait for Parliament to program training for members officially, we'd wait forever. It's already 2 terms. We haven't been capacitated, and that's a problem. It's a huge challenge. So in terms of the gender issue, I think that everybody knows that South Africa is dominated by females, and we have more female-headed households. And it doesn't help the culture of diversity, the value of diversity, if we do not capacitate the females in the country. You know, forget that they're a majority, but just the value of diversity is very important, and to ensure that everybody is able equipped to navigate in this big maze of technologies. All right, so I think that I wanted to give Hajira a chance to just give a bit of a highlight of issues emanating from the oversight. This one is particular to the broadband implementation by USASA, so that at least you get a feel. I'm sure the documents were circulated to members. If not, we'll ensure that we share with the members. But so that you get a feel of the kind of challenges that were found at the ground of a key program of government, that when they come and report here, it's different from what people are experiencing out there. So you can sit here all year and listen to the department babbling, sorry to use the word babbling, but reporting. But you find that in reality, when you go out there, it's not the same. And as public representative, your concern should be what is the impact on the ground, not necessarily what the department is reporting. So you have to balance between what the department presents and what the people are experiencing in as far as the programs are concerned. On my part, Honorable Chairperson, I think I've tried to answer most of them. Hajira will be the last to respond to the issues. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair. I hope you did not say Bozaza. You said USASA.
Thank you, Mr. Maleka. In the first parliament, we had various oversight functions and oversight visits. But what we found, one shocking oversight visit was in 2017, we went to Mpumalanga and Gauteng. In Gauteng, mainly we looked at SAPU, that was fine. But when we came to USASA to investigate, because USASA comes to our committee on a continuous basis and tells us how they connected this site, and so forth, and we thought it all fine. So we actually went to visit one municipality and some clinics.
Mm.
And almost every clinic we came to, there was no connection. Members walked in, where's the connectivity, walked out. It was almost shocking. And so from 2017 onwards, we did, you know, but because our program is also based, like Mr. Lakhtem, because he mentioned, on the parliamentary program, we had other things to do. Mm-hmm. We have asked what's been happening. If you, Mr. McKenzie is not here today, but he was in our meeting. That was something that came up constantly. I will send that report to members to have a look at it and read. And then you can see how it's set out and how. But that was a bit of a shocking one. And that was. And we also found that USASA had many CEOs. I think I'm speaking under correction 19 so far. I think, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
40%?
Mm-hmm.
19?
Mm-hmm.
19 so far, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something just to highlight. And then there are other study tours that I have copies of that members can look and see what the function was. But that was the highlight that we wanted to just highlight to members.
I'm sure honourable members, you have your questions covered. Mm-hmm. Maybe just to conclude the point, I take it that what members are saying is that we have adopted the program, but if there is a need for those oversight visits, would make a proper application. But a second issue that I think is coming out strongly is that in preparation for the other terms, we will probably need a strategic workshop ourselves so that we can then put it in the program so that it doesn't just come by shell. Put it in the program, and we can also monitor ourselves. That are we doing what we said for ourselves to do? So I think that's going to be important before we get to the next term, that we can have that because I can see that you are linking the bill with the talk, saying according to what is presented to us, but learn best practice so that as you look at the amendments you are making, you are also on par with what is international practice and I'm saying it seems that which will then also indicate that from the point of the content advice, it may be important to go back before we even write the letter to the different people. Go back to the report, at least isolate the issue, especially those that need urgent attention to stabilize so that we can then, I think, schedule. But I do understand the part about the law advisor, which is something I thought you would speak to, just the separation. On how far you are on the part of the researcher vis-a-vis the law advisor, so that at least that can be done quicker, could still be done quicker, and therefore we can still have a discussion with the legal people about specialization in the field and so on. So I think you've made a very strong argument that you would not really say criminal procedure and specialist and say, take it. I'm making it as an example. I'm not casting doubt on anyone. So I'm just making it as an example that you were really making a strong case for a legal advisor who would also understand the terrain so that the advice is proper. Especially when you lose many, I think those of us who are looking at a distance, we always complained about that part. That immediately the matter goes before courts, we seem to be losing as the state, and we should be the ones who have even most struggled because we make the laws at the end. So I'm just saying if you can come back to that issue so that the committee at least has a sense so that we are able to make the follow-up, at least the distinction between the two. Because we can't keep on like in the previous fifth parliament where it may be a no. In no time we'll complain about you that you are not giving us the content that we're supposed to do. And you'll be telling us that after our still receiving it. But it also says that even our input at some point may have some questions because other people may raise issues of content having researched them. But we do not have that on our side in the parliament. So I'm just saying if you can still come back to that issue. But I take it that members, that's the gist of what you are saying, is that we look at those oversight issues, but from a content point of view, isolate the issues. We need that strategic workshop in order to plan the next term and the other term, and then try and schedule the other issues in the program. But as the program stands, it's fine. It's important to keep this point, that program, we have adopted it, and we can use the application side to mitigate the challenge that you're talking about. I think it's important for the consistency of decision making, going forward. Otherwise, there may be issues there. Of course, I'm free to speak to the political matters. There would be whips in every party. There can be a discussion there. I don't want to discuss in this process. But if you can just, Mr. Malik, come back just on certainty about dates in relation to, especially the refresher. Otherwise, I do not know how we are functioning, having no capacity.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Since the start of sixth Parliament, I have been in contact with the research unit because, in fact, I was on their neck since the previous Parliament. We had advertised for a researcher late last year, and that advert unfortunately came out right before the departments were merged. So I made a contribution to the research unit to say, and HR, that it's pointless for us to go with a then advert, which was predominantly communication space. So we had about 100 CVs that came through. And most of the people in the CVs, because I'm in the committee, were merely communication specialists, media and communication specialists, not policy oriented or telecoms oriented. So it would have made more work for me. So I had to recommend that they withdraw that advert so that we could start afresh. As of today, I have been speaking with the research unit senior researcher, and they're just waiting for approval to advertise for the position of a researcher for the committee, the new committee. So with the hope that at least come third term we'll have already appointed somebody. But I am applying pressure, and I'll encourage the Office of the Chairperson to also inquire, because sometimes if there's no political pressure, they just think I'm just applying pressure for nothing. So I'll encourage the Office of the Chairperson to also apply some pressure from their side so that they can see that there's a real agency to get this researcher on board as soon as possible. The last issue, Chair, that I wanted to touch on, thanks to you for raising it, is the issue of the threat planning session. I know I didn't touch on it much for the legacy report. We had a strategic planning session at the commencement of fifth Parliament for my committee. I think the telecoms also had a content advisor back then when it did that. So both committees had strat plans. But I want to highlight that there's been... Okay, so apparently they didn't have a strat plan, but we had a strat plan. And subsequent to that, we had APPs, the annual plan. But I think there's a huge disjuncture between having the plan and monitoring the plan and implementing the plan. And I found that very hard, because with the program, and every time you try and slot in a session to deal with the APP of the committee, it will be taken off because of other, you know, unintended issues that come up. So the onus will be on this committee to see how we are flexible to make sure that post the strategic plan, we're able to track the decisions that we take on, during the strat plan going forward. Thank you, Chair.
I take it that with that understanding, we have done justice to that. And the points we've made is just a matter of following them up, including what needs to be followed up by my side of things as the Chair. But of course, working with you, with yourselves in that. If we agree, can we get to the next item? The next item, I would ask Sengoma to just highlight what the issue is.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, this committee does not only have a statutory requirement to facilitate the appointment of the SAPC board members, but that of the Independent Communications Council, Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, which is ICASA. We are also responsible for recommending candidates for appointment to council. As Mr. Malega had reported earlier, the committee had removed Mr. Mohlaloga, who served as a councillor and the chairperson of council, and that left a vacancy in the council. And the matter has been referred to this committee,
Minister has returned to the Speaker requesting that this committee begins with the process of filling that vacancy. So currently ICASA has 8 councillors instead of 9 because the composition is 9. And when this committee advertises, when this committee takes a decision to advertise for that vacancy, I think it's important that I make it clear that the committee will not be filling a vacancy of a chairperson, but will be filling a vacancy of a council member, as council itself appoints the chairperson. And subsequent to that, honourable members, we received communication from the Speaker of Parliament indicating that there's 4 other councillors whose term will expire in April 2020, and requesting that we also include those 4 vacancies when we advertising and filling this current vacancy. Because what happens, previously we would wait until those terms expire, and then there's a communication from the minister informing us of that of the expiry of the terms, and we find that ICASA would be sitting for almost a year, not even making a quorum, honorable members. So here, with these 4 vacancies, the Office of Institutions Supporting Democracy are proactive to say, Minister, will also begin with the process of filling the 4 vacancies that will be left vacant in April. So that would then mean this committee will have to take a decision to advertise for 5 vacancies, with 1 vacancy to be filled in as soon as possible, as soon as the committee concludes this process, by the other 4 vacancies to be filled in April when the terms of those members expire. So that is, I hope I've summarized the discussion relating to that agenda item. So what we need from members is to give us a go-ahead to proceed and draft and prepare the advert, obviously following our administrative issues. The advert will be discussed in our management committees with the chairperson, and we will take the chairperson through the process that of drafting the advert, and we'll draft the advert. We'll consult, as we always do, with legal services when we're drafting an advert. And if the committee says go ahead, the advert should be out next weekend. Thank you, Chair.
May I just get an indication from members of the committee, honourable members? Honourable members, and then Mr. Becker.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe before we take any resolution of this, I just wanted to check in terms of the ICASA Act and maybe the policy that they have, what does it entail when there's an appointment of another councillor within the council itself, will that person continue from that date to 2020, or is it from that date up until 4 years' term? Just to get a clarity on that one.
Honourable Kubet. No, I just wanted to check so that if there is an issue also making response on, you can do that. I'm managing time.
I would like to say, can you just give me maybe Ndate Mngoma to respond first, Chair? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Matrosi, for your question. Honourable members, if this committee recommends someone to be appointed to ICASA, it will be for 4 years. The councillor serves for 4 years, and the chairperson serves 5 years. So, as you know, for instance, there are 4 councillors whose term is coming to an end in April 2020, but the other councillors' terms is still continuing. So, that was my understanding for that. It was so that there is continuity within council. This is unlike the SABC. The SABC, you see the unexpired portion of the member that has resigned or that has been removed, but for ICASA, if you recommend a member for appointment, it will be for that 4 years, and if that member is appointed chairperson, then the member will serve 5 years. Thank you, Rich. I hope I've clarified it.
Honorable,
No, thanks, Chair. I think Iyavakala, as he tried to explain to us. So I would say we don't want to hold whatever entity in when they are supposed to be in progress. So I would fully say, because we do understand what is our role on our side as the committee. In other way around, now we are trying just to release to the side of the administration to say, go on with the issue of advertising, as they are sensitizing us to say it's only one at the moment, but those ones, it means they will be there until 2020, and then ibeba issue yahore, they are continuing when times expires. So we don't want it to be the distractors. We wanted to see the progress in whatever those entities. That is why the content advisor, he was trying to sensitize us also on the side of saying, as the political side, just take note whilst you are doing other recommendations, take note, don't affect us too much, because whatever that we are doing, we must know it's for the progress of this department in order that they must work and continue without any disturbance. He was just highlighted as a chair, was saying he must just relax. We do understand, and now we have listened to him to say, uzama kusixelela ukuba bonani ke msana usiphazamisa kangako. Noma nisebenza, siyavuma nisebenze, kodwa ke noma nisixela phaya, mara msana kusibamba kabuhlunganyana, sikwazi ukuperforma, sikwazi ukuthola ke ama-clean audit. Uyayibona ke. No, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think I agree with my whip here, that honorable member, that you must proceed with that administrative part. That I agree. The only thing that I would request, if it's not illegal, is that after you finalize that copy of the advert, make sure members have that copy so that they can go through. As and when they are required to do certain work, they know what are the requirements. Don't wait until a week and then you call us into an interview. We have not even seen the advert. We don't even know what are the requirements. We have not even researched. Mm. So that is your task. But the second part, Chairperson, I'm worried about the inconsistency with which ICASA is appointing the board. Because if you appoint two, the next day you appoint three, where is the coherence? How does the board gel and work together? Because every year it means you are going to appoint. After next year, you are appointing five now. After next year, you'll be saying 2021, another five is expiring. it doesn't really make sense. Mm. So I don't know if we'll be interfering, but for purposes of consistency and cohesion, of a board. If you appoint a board this year, anybody who comes in between replaces whoever is left, and once the term finishes, we start the process afresh so that everybody can start working together and gel as a team. So how do you establish a team when every year you are just interviewing? I don't understand, but maybe if that's how they have structured their legality, it's okay, but I don't think it's very helpful. Thanks, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm sure Mr. Ngoma will have a lot also to say on this. But I just wanted to clarify that we don't dictate the frequency of appointments. And I think it's consistent across all the entities that we appoint for, even the SABC. So you have an X amount of time. So if your time ends, it ends. We can't necessarily say that we have to wait for the others to end. In an ideal situation, that's what we want, especially with ICASA. But I also wanted to say that the agents with ICASA is that now that they're dealing with the spectrum regulations, it becomes even forever important for them to have a stable board and a chairperson, which they don't have at the moment. They have an acting chairperson. But as you can imagine, ICASA is always challenged by the industry trying to buy them, sway them one way or the other. So we have to do our part and ensure that at least they've got a full complement council and a chairperson, so they can have, you know, a consistent direction in how they distribute the spectrum for the country. Thank you, Chair. I'm sure Mr. Ngoma wants to add.
Thank you, Chair. I will not add anything on that topic. Just to assure members that when the advert is done and everything has been approved, before it even goes out, members have an opportunity that they receive the advert first. Or maybe I should not say first, on the day that the advert goes out, members often are the ones to receive it first. So members will have those adverts. Thank you, Chair.
Look, thanks. For purposes of record, we understand that there are two matters we're dealing with, even though we are dealing with them simultaneously. One issue is on one, which is the net. The other is the four that's referred to the 2020. But from a planning point of view, just to make sure that you don't have a lapse in the process and then get to have problems. I think it's important for record so that it's not like we're replacing because it can come out wrong. So. But I'm just saying for purposes of recording, I think that's very important so that we're able to explain it out there. Right? So with that understanding, I take it that the committee agrees and giving the go-ahead. Okay. All right. It would appear that we have come to that point of thanking members and that the committee has concluded. Thank you. Okay, Madam. I said we have concluded the business of the meeting because there's no item, and therefore this meeting is concluded. Thank you, we are done. That is why I'm not going to. You know. Which one?